This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Pickle and Johnny Cakes Auville.
Mm-hmm.
Joining us right now to talk movies is Kevin McCarthy, and he's got three things to talk about today. You got the monkey.
I do.
Okay. You got Captain America.
Right.
And I am intrigued by Zero Day, which is Robert De Niro on Netflix.
I've seen the ads for that, yeah.
Where do you want to start, Kevin?
Hello, Kevin.
Good morning to you guys.
Good morning.
I think Zero Day is probably the best place to start. I think that's the show that you guys would be most interested in hearing about.
Yeah, and I think it's six episodes, right? And it's De Niro, yeah. But it's a really good cast. Fill us in on who's in it.
Yeah, I mean, this is a political thriller. So this is like, you know, it's a six-episode limited series. I will say this, and this is something, maybe this is just old school of me, but I think a lot of other streaming services are returning to this week-to-week concept where they drop an episode a week and then you digest about it and you think about it. Netflix is still in that boat where, you know, they release it all at once or they do it in two different parts. Like you have like Cobra Kai, the final season coming out in three sections.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think there's something to a show like this. And here's the thing, as human beings, we are curious. So there, when you have the next episode popping up on your screen, you're going to click it because there's a cliffhanger at the end of every episode that makes you go, oh, what's going to happen next?
Mm-hmm.
If you can have some self-restraint, which I did not, I kept going right away, right through it because it was so interesting. I do think this show would marinate better.
Did you watch all six episodes?
Oh, I watched all six, but I was also sitting down with the cast.
Okay.
So I had to watch it all. I sit down with De Niro and Angela Bassett and Connie Britton, Dan Stevens. So the concept of the show, for people who haven't heard of this, is Zero Day basically is the name of the day a cyber attack happens on the U.S. And De Niro plays a former U.S. president who's brought in to head up a commission to figure out who is responsible for the attack. And at this moment in the story, Angela Bassett is the president of the United States. And essentially, you know, like the cyber attack happens and it's like a political thriller trying to figure out what happened. But there's also, you know, there's things happening behind the scenes that we don't know what's going on. And De Niro's character's dealing with some things. And I won't go into specific details, but the cast is incredible. Matthew Modine is great. You might know him from Full Metal Jacket, Stranger Things, great actor. It really is a stacked cast. The score is fantastic. And it's like a nail-biting thriller. The thing that makes it so intriguing is how scary it is that it could actually happen. You know, it's like we're in a day and age now where, like, when you watch a show like this, it is not that far off. And what I mean by that is the cyber attack aspect of it. And, like, you know, everything we have is obviously online and all these things. And, like, I think we sometimes forget, like when you watch a show like this, it reminds you how vulnerable we could be. And so it is very scary in that sense. So I think that people will relate to it because you can feel like something like this would happen.
Did you let me ask you this, because you watched all six at once.
Yeah.
Did you feel like it slows down in the middle? Were there any like filler episodes, or it's just really good throughout?
It's just good throughout. Like it gets better throughout.
Really?
It's six solid episodes. Oh yeah.
I think it is created by the creators of Homeland.
I think I don't know. I know Eric Newman and Noah Oppenheim were involved in the creating of it. I don't know if they did Homeland. I'd have to double check.
Did you just watch it because that guy's name sounds like Oppenheimer? Be honest. And you love Oppenheimer.
It's so funny. I was getting ready to interview him the other day, and I walked in, and it was just weird seeing the word name Oppenheim on there. But I will say, it's one of those series where like you just can't stop watching it. And I also think that, but I will say, if you can give it some space, it'll hit differently. And it was cool. It was great sitting down with De Niro for it, because a lot of the things that we talked about in the interview are this concept of like who we are at different parts of our lives. So like we may speak differently to our parents than we would speak to our friends, and you would speak at a job, or we all put on different masks, and it's all almost like not we're acting, but we're all performing in certain lights when we're in different situations. So the show kind of has a cool concept of like showing these high powered politicians, you know, in and out of the limelight, like in the sense of like you're seeing them behind the scenes. And it's an interesting concept.
Jesse really Plemons is in this as well. I mean, there's a really good cast.
Yeah. Plemons plays a character who's kind of close to De Niro's character, and kind of working with him during the whole 0 day commission. And it's, I was really impressed with it. I mean, I think you guys will eat it up. It's like six episodes and it's pretty quick. And, I think you'll be entertained. I mentioned the idea of things like, you know, being close to home. I was talking to someone the other day. I mean, and please just bear with me on this, but Terminator 2 Judgment Day, for example, mm-hmm. obviously it's a science fiction film, but the concept of that movie, the idea of Skynet and like it becoming self-aware, mm-hmm. and the idea, you know, of computers, you know, taking over the world, you know, when you watch Terminator 2 now, outside of the obvious, you know, science fiction elements of it, there are themes in that show that are still so scary and present, or a movie that are still present today. And that's kind of what I talk about with Cyber Attack and Zero Day. It's like, you know, these ideas of these computer systems, and like especially with T2 and becoming self-aware, that stuff is scary. And it's actually something that I think could possibly happen in our future if we don't, you know, if we don't buckle down on this stuff. It's crazy.
By the way, my connection to Homeland, which I loved, Cakes loved,
very
a lot of people
good.
Loved Homeland, is the director of this one directed Homeland. So maybe Oppenheim wasn't involved in Homeland, but the director was. All right, so you loved Zero Day. That's out now. You can watch the whole damn thing on Netflix, starring Robert De Niro. Do you want to give it an official rating? You usually just give your ratings on movies, but what about for a series?
It's so funny. I told you guys a couple weeks ago, I the only place I give ratings is your show.
Okay.
I've kind of gotten away from, I kind of like to just talk about it and talk about what I like and what I don't like. I'd probably give this a solid four out of five. I mean, like I think there are some moments where like some of the dialogue, it feels like it's like trying to get you to feel a certain way, like, you know, but it is also condensed into a very specific, you know, set of time. And like, you know, one of the things I will say, like when I was referring to T2 and stuff like Zero Day, I mean, like that's what's interesting about this show is like it does feel like, you know, you could see something like that happen. T2 obviously is science fiction. I want to make it clear that I don't think that'll ever happen, but it is scary to think about computers and kind of what they can do.
And so Eric Newman did Narcos, by the way, so really good people behind it. Zero Day, you give it a 4 out of 5. All right, so there's two other movies you wanted to talk about. There's The Monkey and Captain America. Cakes, will you consume Captain America? Because at one point you watched every Marvel movie.
I'm guessing I won't, because, well, one, Brendan saw it and he said it stunk on ice.
Oh, so you're stealing his review.
Well, I mean, it doesn't mean that's going to be the same review Kevin
Which
gives
one?
It.
The monkey?
No. This is Captain America. Oh. I think it's Brave New World is okay. The title. Yeah. And like, I grew up like when my kids were younger. Obviously, my kids were growing up when Iron Man came out in 2008. I think that was so.
Yeah.
I was kind of in on the early like Marvel Cinematic Universe like rebirth, but now like. I probably haven't seen a Marvel movie in the theaters in, I don't know, 3 to 5 years, I would guess.
I feel like you still saw, though, like that Paul Rudd movie.
Oh, I saw Ant-Man. Yeah. I might have seen the second Ant-Man. Yeah. But like over the last like 5 years, I don't think I've seen one in theater.
All right, so fill us in. Is Brendan correct? Is this horrible?
No, I mean, honestly, I think this movie has been really negatively drawn out in the critic and the media area. I was really happy with this film. And to me, so here's what's going on. Like the Marvel Cinematic Universe just hasn't been the same since Avengers Endgame. I mean, that was an incredible run. There was like 23 films leading up to this incredible finale. And after Endgame, the problem with the Marvel films is that there was just no stakes. Like, you know, you'd have characters die and then come back and the multiverse and all these things. And I don't know, Cakes, if you remember the movie Captain America Winter Soldier.
I remember that one.
And what I think was so special about that film was the grounded nature of the action. Like, you had, you know, like just real, like grounded street fights and action sequences that felt like they could really happen. And I think sometimes with the Marvel films, they get so fantastical that you have a hard time buying into it. This movie returns to that grounded nature of the superhero genre that I really like. Because remember, Sam Wilson, Captain America, Anthony Mackie's character is still human. He didn't take the serum, so he actually can be hurt. And that to me is interesting. Like you have a character who's in a fight who can break his rib, and then he has to like, he's like limping during the fight, and like it creates stakes. You actually care. Carl Lumley, by the way, I want to shout out him because he's fantastic in this movie. This movie has a great story. Harrison Ford plays the president. He's fantastic.
By the way, that guy is working a lot. And how old is Harrison Ford?
He's got to be in his 80s, right? Or late 70s.
Yeah. Dude, so here's...
Because Shrinking is a good show on, I think it's Max.
It's on Apple TV.
Yeah. Apple TV. Yeah. He's 82.
Yeah.
Captain America Brave New World reminded me of those like 90s political thrillers. Like, it's like, it feels like take away the superhero Captain America part of it. It feels like a 90s political thriller, like a movie you would have seen, like, I don't know, like Harrison Ford, like it feels like Air Force One style. Like that's kind of what the drama feels like. And so I thought Anthony Mackie was great. I didn't realize Anthony Mackie, you know, his first movie was 8 Mile. He's never really led a film on his, like been the actual title character and star. And he's had an amazing career. I mean, obviously we know him from Hurt Locker and everything. He's phenomenal. He's great in it. I thought Harrison Ford was great. I was pleasantly surprised. I thought the reviews were extremely over the top in the negativity department. Is it a perfect film? No. Is it cheesy at times? Sure. But I think the human drama and the Red Hulk stuff is really well done. I thought it had 3 great action set pieces. I think I also had very low expectations because the Marvel films haven't been great. Like Ant-Man, Quantumania, you know, a lot of these, Doctor Strange 2, I didn't like. Now, Deadpool Wolverine was great because it was kind of a one-off. It was its own movie. So this really kind of brought me back to that feeling of Winter Soldier. I thought it was solid. I enjoyed it. I gave it a 4. I recommend seeing it in a theater if you get a chance. I don't really understand why everyone has so much hatred towards the Marvel films now, and then they go into them and they just want to dislike.
This might be fatigue. It might be fatigue. All right, real quick, you saw The Monkey. Is this the Robbie Williams movie?
No.
What was the Robbie Williams one?
No, it's definitely not that.
Better Man. That was Better Man, and that was the movie where Robbie Williams was portrayed by a CGI monkey.
Okay, but it was okay. I wasn't totally off. There was a monkey and Robbie Williams involved.
No, so The Monkey is a horror film directed by Osgood Perkins, who's the son of Anthony Perkins, who is obviously from Psycho. that's pretty funny. That's making me laugh. Is that Cakes? Cakes, are you doing that?
Of course I'm doing it. Of course I'm playing it. I'm the master of the sound clip. You know that.
That's more entertaining than the movie.
That's all you need to say.
Well, this is entertaining. I'm not going to lie.
I will say The Monkey is based on a Stephen King short story. I saw it last night. I do not understand the rave reviews for this film. It basically deals with Theo James's character. Him and his twin brother basically have essentially a toy monkey that's been passed down from their father that is somehow evil. And when it's turned on and starts to drum, it kills people.
The way that you're saying that, it makes me think of Child's Play.
Yeah.
It's almost a Child's Play ripoff, but instead of Chucky, they've got a monkey.
But the thing is, the difference is that the monkey in this movie doesn't do the killing itself. It's when it's operated, someone dies surrounding it. And it's very strange. The tone is weird. I wanted to love this. The guy who directed this did Long Legs. And I thought Long Legs was fantastic, but this was not something that I was entertained by at all.
All right, so what's your rating for this one?
I'm like a 2.5 out of 5.
Well, you wanted to give it less. That I feel like that's a generous rating.
It has some interesting gory effects in it, but overall, I thought it was ridiculous.
Should we have him go back and forth with Nick, who hated the monkey movie?
Well, he hates the monkey too.
No, I know they both hated it.
I wanted to ask Kevin real quick, where is Kevin going to be this weekend? Any traveling?
No, I'm going to be here. I'm just going to be here this weekend. So, it was good to talk to you guys. And let me know you guys watch Zero Day. I think Zero Day is right up. You guys will like that a lot, for sure. Mm.
I saw the trailer and definitely was into it. And cool. If it's like a 90s, you said a 90s political thriller. Those include The Hunt for Red October, JFK, In the Line of Fire.
Those are some good ones.
Those are all really good ones.
Yeah.
Enemy of the State, Clear and Present Danger, Pelican Brief. It's that style of show.
One of my favorite movies, man. Enemy of the State is so good.
Yep. All right, Kevin.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah. All right.
Kevin McCarthy from Fox 5 gives The Monkey 2.5 out of 5, but 4 out of 5 for Zero Day, 4 out of 5 for Captain America.
My son hated the Captain America movie. Hated it with a passion.
Keep it here with the junkies.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our pals over at Pro Football Focus are putting out their top 101 players from the 2024 NFL season.
Mm-hmm. It's list season. We're smack dab in the middle of it.
And, you know, there's some interesting rankings. I just logged off it. And we'll get to where some of the Commanders players finished. But Jalen Hurts, he just won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I actually think this is just disrespectful.
Now, was this list made pre-Super Bowl? Or does this account for the playoff run?
I think it's compiling the regular season statistics.
Okay.
They've got him ranked 91st. 91st best player in the league. guy just led his team to the Super Bowl. I understand they've got Saquon Barkley and have an unbelievable team. Kind of disrespectful to Jalen Hurts, in my opinion. But that's where they have him rated. Care to guess where Jaden Daniels is, EB? Mm. Now, they haven't released the top 10, so here's a spoiler. He's not in the top 10.
Jaden Daniels. You can guess first, and then I'll guess.
I mean, I wouldn't know. Like, overall?
Overall.
Top 100.
I mean, it's so such a bizarre.
It is a weird list. I'll tell you who's,
way of doing
I'll
it.
Tell you who's around him.
No, don't.
You want to know who's around him?
We just want to let us guess first, and then we can go from there.
I'm going to say, based on the importance of the position, I mean, 25 keeps jumping out at me.
25?
Is that too high?
I was thinking a tad lower, but not that much lower because, I mean, quarterback is super important. He might already be the best quarterback in the NFC. Maybe 25 is good. Maybe he's even higher than that. I'll just say 30.
Yeah.
They have Jaden Daniels ranked 20th in the NFL.
Wow, 20th overall.
I mean, I was trying to look at the quarterbacks.
It's a bizarre way of doing that.
True, but the quarterbacks behind him.
Yeah.
Because you can't see who's in front of him, but you have to.
Sure, you can by math.
Well, you just have to assume that it's Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow. No, because Mahomes finished 39th this year.
Thank you. Thank you. Who's been saying? I was mocked. Mocked roundly by a lot of people in this room.
I understood what you were saying.
For having my
opinion. Because he backed off. Having a better year.
Because at one point you tried to say that he was better.
You said he's having a better year.
At one point you were saying he was better, and then you backed down
His nine-game snapshot to start the season was clearly better than Patrick Mahomes.
Right. That's fine with that.
There was a lot of finger-pointing and laughing.
Most of it was coming from
that. I'm not saying it was
from Valdez. No, it was that big lurch over there.
It was more this half of the room. Yeah. This side of the table.
Because you started off saying he was better. He was having a better nine-game stretch, and Pro Football Focus says he's had a better 17-game stretch.
So they're saying he's the 39th-ranked player in the NFL right now?
They have
actually a joke.
They have Justin Herbert ranked over Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, that's actually a joke.
So it's a prisoner of their PFF grades in the moment, not necessarily taking a bigger picture. I was surprised. All right, right around Jaden Daniels, 21st was Ja'Marr Chase. So it's good company to be there.
Absolutely.
I said, we don't know the top 10, but you would assume Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow are in there. I would assume Saquon Barkley's in there.
Yeah.
Not sure. At number 11, they haven't released the top 10. Number 11, they have Zach Bond.
Okay. Well, seems pretty high.
The Commanders can make a move for, right? He's a free agent.
He is a free agent.
I'm up for it.
They say he was the breakout player of the year, emerged as the NFL's highest graded linebacker in his first full season at the position. He led all linebackers with a 90.9 coverage grade.
I would argue that Jaden Daniels should be ahead of him because, hello, he plays quarterback, a much more important position. But that's the CFF rankings, not the PFF rankings.
That's the Cakes football rankings.
Well, yeah, yes. Cakes wouldn't have any of these guys ahead of Jaden Daniels, and I don't necessarily blame you. They've got Zach Bond, 11, Pat Surtain, 12, corner.
Nope.
George Kittle, tight end, Kyle Hamilton, safety from the Ravens.
Certainly not.
They've got Bijan Robinson ahead of them.
No.
The Falcons.
No.
Another corner in Trent McDuffie.
Come on.
Cameron Hayward, the defensive lineman.
No, never.
Got Lane Johnson, the tackle from Philly.
No,
big fatty. And Kirby Joseph from the Lions.
No.
So you'd vault Jaden over all those guys.
Yes, because he plays the most important position not only in the NFL, in all of organized sports. And he excelled at it as a rookie. So, yes, I would put him ahead of stupid Zach Bond at 11.
Who do you think is the next highest-rated commander? If you want to chime in, you can at 800-636-1067.
Ooh, based on their body.
Who should be the next highest-rated commander?
Is it offensive or defensive player?
I'm not going to tell you.
All right. I think it probably should be Terry McLaurin for his breakout year along with Jaden Daniels.
But you know what?
But I'm guessing it's not.
They jock Cosme. Everyone jocks Cosme. I don't think he's
in. I'm going to say it's Frankie Louvu.
All right, you're locking in on Louvu.
I don't like it, but that's just what I'm going to go with.
All right, EB, you want to lock in? It's going to double check that it didn't miss anybody. I will tell you he's ranked 41st in the NFL.
I'm gonna.
I don't have the top 10.
I don't know. These lists are so dumb. I'm gonna say Terry.
So you're going Terry McLaurin.
Yeah.
You're going LuVu.
Yeah. I don't like it. I'm
my
on
backup
record to say
was Cosme.
Like
my backup was Cosme because everyone was jocks.
It's Cosme. Not Cosme.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not Terry.
It's not Terry McLaurin. It's not LuVu.
Yeah.
They have Bobby Wagner, 41st best player in the NFL. Mm.
All right. Well, it's just silly.
They say he makes the PFF 101 for the eighth time in his career. The 34-year-old's 88.3 PFF grade during his first year in Washington was third amongst all linebackers in the NFL. He led all linebackers in pass rush grade. He had a 90.9. Was second in run defense grade at 91.2.
That's crazy.
Great. Great signing by Adam
teacher
Peters.
An apple every day. So, like, what is going on? The greater
teacher an apple, teacher's pet bit.
What is he doing to get such high grades?
He's tackling a lot of guys.
I don't know that I've ever seen a linebacker just so demonstrably slow. He made a ton of plays.
He doesn't have a lot of range.
His
we know
range
that at this
is
point.
So. I've never seen one with smaller range. Like
I think
a shorter
you disrespect
area.
Bobby Wagner
no,
big time.
He's a leader. He hits the hell out of people. He destroys people. But he just plays in such a small box. It's hard for me to imagine him being. I mean, it's just not true.
Is there anybody else ranked on the list after Bobby Wagner
in the top 100?
Terry McLaurin comes in at number 66.
Okay.
They have Cosme in there. Everybody jocks Cosme.
You're obsessed with Cosme.
No, I'm not. I think he's okay. I don't think he's as incredible as all these guys always say. Is he in the top 100?
I didn't see him. Let me just double check.
Maybe. Good.
You don't want Cosme to be in there?
No, it's fine. I mean, I just don't think he's as great as everybody says.
I think that's it. I think that's it for the Commanders.
How many, like, what team had
three guys.
What team, like, how many did the Eagles have? They have, like, a.
I don't have it listed that way, but I saw a lot of Eagles. I mean, you start at number 11 with Zach Bond. I mentioned. Jalen Hurts, several of their linemen are in there. Looks like a lot of Lions.
Saquon's going to be in there.
Yeah, well, I think Saquon's going to be in the top 10.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's not listed in the top 101. They saved the top 10 for later. But yeah, you know, guys like Lane Johnson, I mentioned AJ Brown's in there.
What about Sweat? I'm telling you,
I didn't see him. I saw Cooper DeJean.
He popped so much. Well, Cooper DeJean, man, he had an impact too.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I think Terry's
it's a little
low.
Yeah.
Low. Quinyon Mitchell also on there from the Eagles. As we go through Eagles. So there's a bunch of Eagles for sure. Another one, Milton Williams, who's available.
Zach Martin announced that he's retiring. And the stat I'm sure you guys saw, 9 Pro Bowls. He actually had more Pro Bowls cakes than holding calls against them.
Was it Pro Bowls or all pros?
Pretty impressive.
I thought it was
Might
Pro
have even
Bowls.
Been all pros.
I thought it was Pro Bowls. But 9, whatever it was, 9-7 holding calls in his 11 years in the NFL.
It's pretty sick.
All right, got to take a break. If you want to chime in throughout the show, you can always hit us up on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines at 800-636-1067. You can text us at the same number on the Lido Pizza text line. Local favorite since 1955, serving pizza, subs, jumbo wings, and salads. Lido Pizza Square, because Lido Pizza never cuts corners. For locations or to place your order, go to LidoPizza.com. You can text 1-800-636-1067. Standard message and data charges may apply. We're the Junkies. Be right back. Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. Going to talk a little Wizards hoops, a little NBA hoops. The head coach of your Washington Wizards, Brian Keefe, powered by Verizon, joins us right now. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, guys.
Hello, Coach. Good morning.
Coach, you know, we were just wondering, did you know the Four Nation deal, whatever they did in the NHL? Drew a lot of attention. A lot of tension there, USA Canada last night. I know you're busy. Probably didn't catch much of it, but are you aware of it? And because we're wondering, what can the NBA do to make their sort of all-star situation better?
Great question. I was aware of it. I did not watch it. The Bucks were playing last night, and we play them tonight, so I was watching that game. But
gotcha.
I am a hockey fan. I grew up in the Northeast, so I do like hockey. The bean pot was a big thing.
Right. So are you a Bruins guy coming from that region of the world? Have you switched allegiances now that you share a building with the Washington Capitals? Where do your rooting interests lie?
Oh, no, I'm a Caps fan. Come on.
Oh, very good.
Good answer. Good answer, Coach.
I'd like to hear that. That's fantastic.
I mean, his checks are signed by Ted Leonsis, aren't they?
They are, last time I checked, yes.
But Coach, what can the NBA do? I mean, maybe you could do like an international or U.S. thing. I don't know if it certainly won't draw the same attention or the same passion when you're playing singularly for your own country. I don't know. What do you think they could do?
It's a great question. I know they're trying to bunch of different things the last few years with the All-Star game. Some people have said, the world versus the U.S.
Yeah.
Maybe that's something interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of great international players, obviously. I don't know. I'm not sure what the answer to that is.
Right. So Coach Keefe, you kind of have a different team here post All-Star break than what you had before. Lot of trades. You lose guys like Kyle Kuzma, who you're going to see again tonight. What did Kyle Kuzma mean to you as a player during your tenure as head coach and with Kuzma on the roster?
Great. I had a long relationship with him. I coached him when he was drafted with the Lakers, so I'd known him for a very long time. So it was fun for me because I got to see him as a young person coming into the league and then saw his game develop, and then what he turned into here obviously was a pretty high performer for us. But it was also a lot of stuff off the court. This guy had done tremendous, as you guys know, like a lot of stuff in the community, and just watching him mature as a person. So I have a deep personal connection with him just because of knowing him so long. So he will be missed. I wish him well, not too well tonight, but it was a joy to coach him because I knew him for so long.
So you're going to have a couple of vets now that you're going to be coaching in Marcus Smart and Chris Middleton. When should we expect to see him? Are we going to see him against the Bucks? When are they going to be on the court, and how do you see them fitting in?
We will see them soon. I can't reveal quite yet all of that, but soon. They've been great. Really have enjoyed getting to know them the short time that they've been with us. But, obviously these are guys who are really accomplished guys in the league. Really looking forward to building relationship with them and then integrating them into the things that we're doing. But they've been really terrific so far, working hard, fitting in with their teammates, so we're excited to have them.
Is it hard to blend those guys in with so much, playoff experience and, postseason expectations, et cetera, when this team is in a different stage?
I think that can be at times, but the one thing I know about both these guys, this speaks to who they are. They're really high character guys. It's always a shock when you get traded midseason on for everybody. So there's obviously, you're dealing with family and moving things and stuff like that. But the energy they've brought in here, they're workers. They love the game. So they fit in with the guys that we already have. They're very similar in terms of their makeup and what they're about. So I think they'll take a little bit of time, but I think they're excited to be here and press forward and finish off the year well.
So, Coach Keefe, in your last seven, you got a three-game win streak and a four-game losing streak there in those seven games. During those three-game win streak, you allowed 106 points per game on defense. During the four-game losing streak, 131 points per game in that four-game losing streak. Do you walk into the locker room and say, fellas, let's get back to allowing 106, 110 points per game? Those are winnable games. When we're allowing 130-plus, not so winnable.
Yeah, our offense has really had improved in this month. We have, like you said, that first three-game stretch, the defense was there. We were inconsistent, to say the least, the last four games. We had some good halves, some bad second halves, and some of that stuff. But, those are the things we're going to focus on going forward. We've played pretty good basketball this month in February. I like the way that we're growing. But, obviously, defense is going to be at the top of our list.
One of the guys who I think has always been good, but in the month of February, it seems like he's been absolute instant offense, is Corey Kispert. What's the ceiling on Kispert? He's been mostly a bench player throughout his career so far. Not that he's had this super long career. He's still 25 years old. But Kispert, man, sometimes he just comes in and is instant offense.
Yeah, he's been terrific. He's obviously played really well, but for us here of late. But he's kind of he really can drive our offense in a lot of ways. Obviously, everybody sees the the shot making, the 3-point shooting, but he's also a really good finisher, a good driver, a good cutter. He's got a really unique skill set on the offensive end. He obviously creates a lot of gravity for attention because of his shooting, but a lot of it's his movement. And he's a great mover, really great conditioned athlete, and he's kind of rounded into shape here right at the right time for us.
If you had just a 3-point contest, you know, the NBA All-Star game, they have the 3-point shootout, and it was Kispert, Poole, and I don't know who else you want to throw in. Who's going to win that on the team?
We got some pretty good guys. Poole, Kispert, good. Now Chris Middleton. We got some guys who can really shoot here. That's a good one. I'm not sure. I can't pick that one. That would get me in trouble with my own guys. So those three guys were pretty good, though.
He has an answer. He just doesn't want to give it up.
I would choose myself. I think I could beat all three of them myself.
It's possible.
Hey, are you surprised that Alex Saar he's shooting a good amount of 3-pointers? Did you know that was fully in his repertoire when he was drafted by the Wizards? That, I mean, of course you want him to improve the percentage, but he launches a decent number of 3-pointers.
Yeah, that was something that we thought he could do when we were in the draft process, and then once we got the chance to work on him through the summer and then the early part of the season, like, that was one of the things we wanted him developed, because I think over time, and, you know, we're building something that's going to be sustainable and, you know, high level in a few years here, that we wanted him to be able to stretch the floor. He's got a unique skill set of being able to handle the ball, push the ball off in the break off rebounding, and then, you know, him being able to stretch the floor with his shooting, which, you know, he obviously had a really good month of December, but when he shot, I think, in the mid-40s, but that's going to allow him to play make, spread the court for his teammates. You know, his game is evolving as we see it, so, like, we wanted him to be aggressive with his shooting when they're open, take him.
Coach, I don't know if we had a chance to talk to you about AJ, one of the guys you guys picked up. I think he's like 18 or 19 years old, too. Tell us about his game.
Dynamic athlete, you know, really athletic, getting into the paint. You've seen probably some of his highlights already. He's got a couple big-time finishes, dunks for us. He's got a good feel for the game, and he kind of fits the guys that we like. He's a basketball guy. He's into it. He's into working on his craft, his game. Been really happy with him so far, and we're continuing to, you know, work with him the rest of the year and going into the summer. But we've liked what we've had from him, and we like his attitude about the game.
Coach, he has a problem I've never had. He's way too skinny. Like, yeah. How do you add a little meat to the bones?
He's
at this
listed
point?
At 6'5", 160.
Oh my God!
Yeah, he's a young kid. So, like, you know, he's not 18, 19 years old. He's growing, developing. You know, he's already into the nutrition here, our development program, hitting the weights. So, like, that's the stuff that's great. That stuff will take care of itself as he matures over time. But he's putting the work in. And I think that's the stuff we love about him.
Coach Keefe, I know you have a meeting coming up, but you realize me and Cakes are going to the game tonight. Cakes is undefeated at your games this year.
I'm the good luck charm, again.
You beat the Nuggets with Cakes in attendance, beat the Hornets.
Yeah.
Are those the only two?
Hornets, those are the two.
Okay, it's two.
All right.
There's a dub incoming tonight, Coach. Not to jinx things, but I feel good.
Well, as I told you guys the last time, you guys, it should be mandatory that you're not at all the games. So. I know some people. We can take care of you, right?
Nice.
I mean, if you guys beat the Bucks tonight, I'm going to ask for like a sweatsuit and a quarter zip, and I'm going to sit behind you with a clipboard. I'm not going to say anything or do anything, but I'll just act the part.
You could say, hey, see Giannis, guard him.
Yeah. No, I'm just asking for appearance fee.
Well, I mean, sure. I guess I could do
that.
That'd be great. All right, Coach, we know you got to run. Thanks for the time, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. See you tonight.
All right, that's head coach Brian Keefe. He's powered by Verizon.
Yeah, that kid, AJ Johnson. It's funny because I wanted to ask him about that. And you beat me to the punch. 160 pounds, 6'5".
I mean, he's going to lift a lot of weights, and he's going to drink a lot of protein shakes, I would think, is the first and foremost.
But he can fly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we saw him in his debut where he dunked into some dude's face. I can't remember which game it was. He's a high flyer.
Oh, no, he's definitely.
But he's butt skinny.
He's definitely an athlete. Yeah. Jumps out at you when you see him.
I'm just thinking, I've been under 160 a few times, like for my boxing match. Yeah. For the marathon, but both times I worked my ass off, and I'm only 5'8", 5'9".
I literally think the last time I weighed 160 pounds, I was probably...
Eighth grade?
Maybe a sophomore in high school. Maybe a freshman in high school. It's been quite a while.
I like skinny guys like that, though, because just, I don't know, it just means they're a little bit more athletic than me for some reason.
More athletic than you? Is that what you said?
No, more athletic to me.
Okay.
To me.
I hope he's more athletic than you.
Oh, yeah, that's not even close. Yeah. I can barely touch my toes.
All right, got to take a break if you want to chime in. 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.